It's time for kickoff. Welcome to NRL Monday with Andrew Moore. Insights, analysis, and all you need to know in the NRL on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Yes, Monday's come around so quickly. Hello and welcome to NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore, happy to be with you until 7.30 tonight and looking forward to being joined out of the 7 o'clock news by my co-host for the evening, the extremely talented Cronulla Sutherland NRL fullback Jada Taylor, who was outstanding in co-commentary of the Roosters-Eels NRLW game last night in Gosford. Now, in this half of the show, PNG Chiefs General Manager of Football Michael Chamis will join me. Now, another big signing for the Port Moresby-based team, star Penrith winger Brian To'ol for 3 years after his contract expires with Penrith at the end of next season. And the Panthers had given To'ol permission to talk with the Chiefs. This new team looks like being chock full of stars immediately in 2028 with the likes of Jerome Luai, Connor Watson, Zach Lomax, Alex Johnston, now Brian To'ol on the books. They're going to have such an incredible following at home, and they've been talking to Cam Munster. They've been talking to Joey Lomu, the former Sydney Roosters star. They have been everywhere. And because of the star quality, and remember, they have the majority of roster spots still to fill, they will attract plenty of interest when they play in New South Wales or Queensland or Auckland. I think they do have an unfair leg up when it comes to being able to offer players tax-free contracts, but it's also very exciting. How are you feeling about the PNG Chiefs? Are you into it? Do you care about what they're doing? And how do you rate the signing today, Brian To'ol? 1300 361 700 is the number to ring and have a chat. Or you can send me a text on 0467 920222. Some good news for Penrith today. Co-captain Isaiah Yeo does not require season-ending surgery. And that was certainly the concern when he suffered a pec injury during Friday night's loss to the Warriors in Auckland. And pecs can be very serious. It was a fear initially that he wouldn't only miss the remainder of the NRL season, but the World Cup as well. But Isaiah does not require surgery and rehab will begin very shortly. Former teammate Jerome Luai says Yeo is the heartbeat of the Panthers. So rehab will start for him and hopefully back for Penrith before the finals. Luke Lewis disagrees with me, but I don't think the Panthers can win the comp without Isaiah Yeo. 1300 361 700 is the open line number, or text 0467 920222. And gee, the Warriors were good. They dismantled Penrith from the start on Friday night. They can win the premiership. And they've got great forwards, they've got great backs, a massive home ground advantage, plenty of depth. And another take from the weekend, by the way, South Sydney coach Wayne Bennett. He must pick Jai Gray in his starting team for the Rabbitohs to have a shot at anything this year. He was a replacement winger against Parramatta on Saturday night, only the second time he had ever played there, and he was the best on ground. He is such a good footballer. And to be fair, Matt Dufty has been going great guns at fullback. But Jai Gray has to be in the starting lineup, and I assume he will be with Campbell Graham out for a month with yet another calf injury. But your thoughts are welcome tonight, 1300 361 700 or text 0467 920222. It is 21 to 7.
Be part of NRL Monday.
Call 1300 361 700.
You're with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Michael Chamis from the Chiefs to join me shortly. I am really interested to hear what your thoughts are on this global round that Peter Vallandi says is locked in for 2028 and may even happen next year. We know that Las Vegas will host opening round games for at least the next 2 years, but now it's going to turn into a global round with games to be played in Hong Kong, Japan and England, all to be played on the same weekend to kick off the season. It seems so far-fetched. But this is what Peter Vallandi does. Who would have ever thought that for 3 years in a row, NRL games would be attracting crowds of over 40,000 at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas? Now, if you're old enough, remember the absolute BS during the Super League War in the mid-90s about games being taken to all parts of the world, players being stars in China. It was just an absolute load of rubbish from start to finish with all that talk. But it's different now. I believe Peter Vallandis. This will happen. Now, to what end is a question? What will it actually achieve? The number one thing the NRL seems obsessed about at the moment is making money. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but this will make the NRL money first and foremost, and they wouldn't be doing it otherwise. But as a rugby league supporter, are you excited about the prospect of a global round? Do you want to see, do you want to hear what rugby league is like when it's taken to places like Japan and Hong Kong? My only negative to this, and I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but it is what do we hope to achieve in, say, Hong Kong, when, as I've been saying forever, it is unforgivable that the NRL is now turning its back on regional areas, with less and less games taken there each year. And the main reason? The clubs or the NRL don't make money from it. Now, maybe the profits from Global Round could subsidise NRL games being taken back to Mudgee and Dubbo and Coffs Harbour and Wagga Wagga and Bundaberg and Cairns and the Sunshine Coast and beautiful Tamworth, among other places. Then I'd be all over it. But how many home games can we expect fans to miss out on? And we also have Magic Round, remember? Very interested in your thoughts on a global round. Great idea or too far-fetched? 1300 361 700, the open line number, or text 0467 920 222.
Got something on your mind?
Call Andrew now on 1300 361 700.
This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
First text of the day, too. If St George Illawarra wins three of its last four games and the Broncos lose all four, the Broncos go from premiers to spooners. I love that one win for the Dragons and this talk about them jumping off the wooden spoon position. That was really good for them yesterday over Cronulla at Jubilee. It's so rare the last 2 years to be at that ground and have happy faces and plenty of cheering going on. The NRLW season, it goes for 11 rounds. We're up to round seven and it starts on Saturday with a 12:45 kickoff. Gold Coast hosting St George Illawarra at Robina Stadium. The Titans are in third spot and they look great. 3:15 at Western Sydney Stadium. Winless Parramatta plays Canterbury Bankstown at, and that'll be as part of a doubleheader with the NRL. I am concerned the Eels under their coach, who I rate highly, Steve Georgalis, are not going to win a game this year. At 5:15, the Broncos, reeling from yesterday's shock loss to Canberra, they face the Sydney Roosters, who are unbeaten. And look, that's going to be like the NRL on Thursday night, an NRLW top-of-the-table clash. Then on Sunday at 11:50 a.m. kickoff between Newcastle and Canberra at Hunter Stadium. At 1:45, it's the West Tigers taking on the Warriors at Western Sydney Stadium. That'll be a good one. That's fourth against fifth. And then the game you'll hear on ABC Sport from 6:15 at Townsville Stadium. North Queensland against Jada Taylor's Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Coverage with Zane Bojack, Karina Brown and Ash Sartor until 8 o'clock on Sunday night. Now, on the text line, how many rugby league players suffered concussion so far this season? Who had the most? No idea, John. It's a fair question, but I don't know the answer to that because there's a difference too between HIAs and actual concussions. But I don't know whether there's an official track of that. I'm sure individual clubs do. I'll see if we can find out for you, John. Gray's exclusion is bizarre for my bunnies. Hasn't played a bad game all year. Love the call from Crawls at Lake Macquarie. Thank you, Crawls. Hi, Andrew. I'm a Balmain / West Tigers supporter and have long suffered the injustice of clubs developing their junior talent that forms the foundation of our sport and more commercially the economic success of NRL. For example, the loss of Woods, Moses, Brooks and Tedesco right when the Tigers were competitive 15 years ago. If PNG can get so much support, why not have a look at how we can take some of that commercial success and reward clubs like the Tigers for the role they play in the broader game, perhaps a way in which the economics flow back into those clubs? Just a thought from Tiger Town, Josh. Problem is, Josh, the clubs that are well run, and no disrespect to you, but your club is not, nor has it been for a long time, it's different to the clubs that are really well run. And would it be unfair to them to give a leg up to clubs that maybe aren't so well run? Worth considering anyway. But I appreciate your text and you listening. 0467 920222. We're going to check in at Port Moresby next.
Notice something on the weekend that no one else did?
Call 1300 361 700 and be part of NRL Monday with Andrew Moore
on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
Well, the PNG Chiefs, as we've mentioned, have made yet another splash today, announcing they've signed star Penrith winger Brian To'o to a 3-year deal, 2028 until 2030. Great signing for a player who currently seems, he does seem down on confidence and form right now, but boy, he's been a great player ever since making his debut for Penrith back in 2019. The general manager of football at the Chiefs is former top journo Michael Chammas, who has emerged as one of the most influential people in this sport with a highly coveted checkbook on his person. He's on the line. How are you, MC1?
Andrew, how are you, mate? You well?
Mate, I'm very well. It's a huge signing, isn't it, Brian To'o, in keeping with some of the others that you've already announced. Great player, great community guy. Was that important to the Chiefs?
Yeah, for sure, mate. Like, it sends a message to our fans, to everyone in the game, the kind of person we're after, and not just what he does on the field. I think it speaks for itself what he's achieved over, not just for the Penrith Panthers, but for Samoa and for the New South Wales team as well. He's a proven winner, but off the field as well, culturally, to what we want to build. Everyone talks about the challenges we'll face of living together, and if we had a lot of Brian Tottles living together, I don't think we'd have any problems. So that definitely ticks a huge box for us as a club. He's a cultural man, he's a family man, and everyone in PNG will become a cult. He'll become a cult hero for the people of PNG. So it's a really, really important day for the club.
Yeah, what do you think was a key element for Brian To'o to be won over by the Chiefs?
Yeah, look, I think he believes in the vision, and obviously he would have heard about the vision for some time now, one of his best mates, Jerome Luai, signing with us a few months back now. So there's no doubt about the fact that he sees an appeal in what we're building. He sees the significance and what he can do for the country, and he can do it with one of his close mates. There's no denying that relationship would have been key for us in these conversations. And that's what we want. We set out from the outset. If you could go out and recruit in pairs, that's ideal. You know, you want to be able to move to a foreign country and have someone that you know and rely, his partner and Jerome's partner are very close, their kids get along. Like, this is more than just a football team we're assembling here. We're obviously going to live together. There are going to be different challenges. And when you have someone over there that you're close to, it definitely helps. And I think he believes in this vision that we've, I have no doubt he does from the conversations we had. And it's probably a respect to Penrith for the way they've handled it. Like, he's done everything for that club. He's a local junior. But they recognise all that and gave him permission to talk to us well before November to get to the outcome that we have. So we're really thankful to Matt Cameron and the Panthers for the way they've handled things.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up to you, Michael, because we had a really enlightening chat with Matt Cameron while we were in Mudgee a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about the threat of him losing, you know, these four or five big-name players they've got off contract at the end of next year to the PNG Chiefs. Do you guys have the unfair advantage with the tax-free bucks and all of that sort of thing? And his answer was so impressive. Like, clearly he's got Penrith number one for him, but also one of these chief executives that has the broader good of the game, and he sees and understands the excitement about making PNG a success. Is that shared by all NRL clubs, or are you getting some negative feedback from perceived legs up, a leg up, etc.?
Oh, look, just on Matty, firstly, he's been outstanding for us as a club. You know, he's standing in the game, what he's achieved. He doesn't have any reason to come out there and help us as much as he has. But I'm not talking from a football point of view, just advice all the time for us as a club. From a business point of view, and that extends to the chairman out there as well, to Peter Graham and the way he's handled it. So I get that not everyone's going to be like that. People, self-interest in rugby league, it prevails. But reality is, I can understand that as well. Like, I can understand the clubs being concerned. And to be honest with you, I'd be concerned if the clubs didn't feel that this was unfair, we wouldn't be doing our jobs. We wouldn't be assembling a team that they'd be threatened with, or
that's a good call.
Were
yeah.
going to compete. So to us, that's a badge of honour that people are saying this now, because I'd rather that than have people saying they're not a threat. They're the cute and cuddly PNG Chiefs. Who cares what they do? That's not what we want. We want to put a team together that's going to compete from the outset. And I don't follow the noise as much as I used to, but the noise suggests that we're doing something right if they feel that way.
I would love to know what Sydney Morning Herald writer Michael Chammas would be writing about what's happening with the Chiefs, or when you're appearing on Channel 9 or your various other media outlets, what you would have been saying about them.
Yeah, well, one thing that...
What a great job the general manager of footy's doing.
I'd be saying get Carayannis to see the GM of the PNG Chiefs. But I think, look, my criticism at the start, and there's no point hiding from it because I was a journo and these things are in the public record. I always believed in this, but what I was concerned about was why the NRL needed to involve itself in political affairs. But that's an uneducated view. Until I actually got there and began to see the impact that this could have, you start to appreciate this is more than just rugby league. I don't expect people to feel that way unless you go over there and see the impact that it has on all the kids, unless you go over there and see the impact it's having on young boys and girls attending schools because they get to play rugby league. People don't understand that, and nor should they understand that if they haven't been over there. I completely get it, but it's our job to educate people in the game about what this is doing for PNG, and whether or not they care, that's up to them.
I had the opportunity recently, Michael, to spend time with and address a whole group of PNG media men and women, photographers, cameramen, commentators, journos, the works, and you know, talking about the opportunities that they now have over there to cover elite sport, and they need to be good at it. So, you know, games aren't called from boardrooms and studios in Sydney all over the place, and that's how it's covered over there. I appreciate it'd be a vastly different media landscape, but what have you noticed from that perspective in your time in Port Moresby in terms of the coverage you've been getting?
Yeah, look, I think it's changed from apprehension at the start to definitely in the last few months to a huge amount of excitement. I think that's reflected in not just the media, but also the people of PNG. And the more comments like Wayne Bennett's comments the other day about it being fair, I've found that the more that it's actually galvanised the country around the Chiefs. Because you know, you have to remember, Andrew, everyone's got a team in PNG. They're rugby league mad, so right. They already have a team. But what I've found is the more that in Australia people have complained or raised concerns with the team, the more Papua New Guinea's got behind the team and thought the more proud they are of what we're building. And that's good for us. You know, I understand the media landscape more than anyone. I understand the coaches have to say, look, there is no hard feelings from me towards anyone in regards to what they're saying. Everyone's got their job to do and they all have their own views. I'm not going to judge them on that. But what I have noticed is that it has helped us in uniting the country and rallying people around the Chiefs. So it's been a good thing for us.
We've already signed a number of big names, so it doesn't really matter what people are saying. You're just getting out and getting the job done. And among a couple of recent massive names in the sport that you've met with, Cam Munster from the Melbourne Storm and Joey Manu, who, of course, was a great player for the Roosters before recently moving to rugby union. How are those chats?
Yeah, so Joey Manu flew over to PNG a few weeks back. You would have seen the images of him in PNG. He's now back in Paris at the moment preparing for his pre-season with Racing 92 in French rugby. So we'll give him some time to sort of think about his next move and have a chat with his manager and see exactly where that one leads. With Cameron Munster, we were informed that he had permission to speak with us. That's for us as a club, that's huge. As someone of Cameron standing in the game, one of the best players of the modern era, there's no doubt about it. So that's something that we've discussed as a club. At the moment, given his commitments with Melbourne and his preference to not go to Papua New Guinea, we put that on the back burner. But as a club, we've made it clear that we've got our six in Jerome Luai. We need a seven, and we want to consider all the potential sevens that are available for us come November 1. So that's definitely why Cameron, whether we convert him into a seven, that's an option for us, but we're not in a position right now to commit to anything and want to see how that plays out come November 1 to see what sevens are available.
Yeah, well, because currently you think it might be a Cleary, might be a Walker. Like, there are going to be some big names if you can get them, if they don't re-sign where they currently are. And the whole behind the curtain of how you prioritise who you go after and work out what money you can spend and what impact that has in the cap might be a conversation for another day, but absolutely fascinating. Just finally, though, Chammy, how much of a close eye are you keeping on the Perth Bears compared to other NRL clubs, bearing in mind they come in a year ahead of you?
Only from the fact that they're obviously trying to fill a large amount of roster spots, so naturally you're competing against similar players. But from our point of view, I think once November 1 comes around, everyone's competing for the same players. So whether it's Perth or it's another club, everyone's in the same basket and we're just another competitor in that. But definitely in the last few months, we sort of found like we've been competing in the same pools for players. But as I said, November 1, it becomes open slather, doesn't it? It's going to be interesting this year to see how it plays out.
Brian To'o, a three-year deal with the PNG Chiefs, general manager of football, Michael Chamis. I nearly called you the other one. Nice to talk to you, mate. Well done, and we'll keep in touch. Obviously, things continue to move at a great rate over there.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you having me, mate.
Who's hot?
Look, I think it should be a Dragon, because do you know who's hot at the moment? Clint Gutherson, the Saints fullback and captain. And honestly, a few weeks ago, I was watching him play, and he looked sluggish in a really ordinary team. I felt sorry for him. But the last 2 weeks, they'd be close to the best two games he's played since joining St George Illawarra. Back to his best, which has been really great to see. Clint Gutherson is hot.
Who's under the pump?
That intro gets me every time. The Sharks, straight away, under the pump. They've been brilliant, winners of 9 of their last 10 until yesterday. Everyone wants to say what a soft draw they have on the run home to the finals. Well, they were pretty convincingly outplayed by the bottom-of-the-table Dragons at Jubilee yesterday afternoon. And I actually believe in Cronulla this year. But yesterday was worrying calling that game. They host Canberra this coming Saturday afternoon. And I think the Sharks are under the pump just to get momentum back for the run to the finals. 0467 920222. Speaking of the Sharks, their NRLW fullback Jada Taylor will join me after the news at 7 o'clock. On the text line, 0467 920222. Hi, Maury. I'd love to see a global round and a regional round. If the NRL can take games to Japan and Hong Kong, etc., surely some of that huge TV and gambling revenue can subsidise clubs to take a full round of regional Australia. And if government can invest in a PNG NRL team, why not help fund it for a regional round as well? Taking the game back to the bush is just as important as taking it to the world, and long overdue. Good on you, Sean. Well, the NRLW a week and a half ago had a magic round in Wagga Wagga. That was a great success, over 7,000 people on average on both days. We were at Mudgee that same weekend, myself, Matt Elliott, Michael Carianis calling the Penrith-Canberra game in the NRL, and there was a full house crowd of 10,000. It was buzzing. I love that idea of a regional round in the NRL where games are played at different venues for every single game of the competition. Not all at one venue, but spread it around. Good evening, Andrew. Fantastic listening as always. Something I'd like to see during the origin period is to take the games during those rounds to the regional venues like Wagga, Tamworth, Mudgee, Coffs, Bundaberg, Mackay, etc. With teams leading into a bye or coming off a bye, spend a week in those regions, not just a couple of days, running skills with the children and talking about healthy lifestyles and also getting out to the clubs in those districts. It'll also mean that the grounds during the winter will get a rest. That's Matt at Grenfell. I like that idea too, Matt. And I think talking to some guys from Penrith after they were in Mudgee, they arrived there on the Tuesday, played on the Saturday, returned home on the Sunday. And it's like anything, when you're in a bit of a grind, something different is fun. And they enjoyed that community involvement, and Penrith are better at it than any other club in the comp, as their association with Bathurst has long proven, and they enjoy that as well. And thank gosh for Penrith, or there'd be no, in New South Wales anyway, games in regional Australia. I know Jada Taylor's a Tamworth girl. Ask her about this too after 7 o'clock. What a great weekend. No Tiger headlines. Love it, says Filthy Phil. No, and Phil, you'd be happy too. They smashed the bye. That was never in doubt. Now, I'm calling them on Sunday against the Dragons. Tell me they're going to be good, Phil. Andrew, looking forward to your chat with the number one MC. Please ask him what he thought of Dennis's recent song. Tom from Lutwidge, I'm sorry, Tom, I've just seen this. I know he has heard it, and I know he likes it, and I know that he loves being number one MC instead of number two MC, as is the case with Carianis. But when we next have him on a weekend, we'll go into that more closely. Andrew, if we're to believe the media, they tell us that 30,000 of the spectators in Las Vegas travelled from Australia, therefore only 10,000 from the USA. Interesting, says Paul in Brisbane. Yeah, but the NRL seems happy with that, Paul. And I know I've only been there for the first one, and walking around the strip in Vegas and seeing billboards with NRL advertising was mind-blowing. And then the amount of jerseys you saw around Vegas, likewise. So 3 years in, I think they're very happy with how that's progressing, and I think they want to maintain a presence in the United States. News is next at 7 o'clock. This is NRL Monday.
Your complete NRL wrap. This is NRL Monday with Andrew Moore on ABC Radio and ABC Sport Digital.
And welcome to the second half of NRL Monday. I'm Andrew Moore. Welcome to listeners across parts of New South Wales and Queensland. joining us for the first time as we lead into the evening's programs on ABC Local Radio. Joining me in a moment is co-host Jada Taylor. Now, in the first half of the show, I spoke with General Manager of Football for the PNG Chiefs, Michael Chamis, and he says he's unfazed by people believing the Chiefs have an unfair advantage.
If the clubs didn't feel that this was unfair, we wouldn't be doing our jobs. We wouldn't be assembling a team that they'd be threatened with or...
That's a good call,
yeah. ...going to compete. So to us, that's a badge of honour that people are saying this now, because I'd rather that than have people saying they're not a threat. They're the cute and cuddly PNG Chiefs, who cares what they do. That's not what we want. We want to put a team together that's going to compete from the outset. And I don't follow the noise as much as I used to, but the noise suggests that we're doing something right if they feel that way.
Your text messages remain welcome on 0467 920 222. Now, the NRLW season is well underway. The Sydney Roosters are the only unbeaten team through six rounds, having thrashed the Parramatta Eels last night in Gosford 46-6. I was listening on the way home from Jubilee, and it was great to hear Cronulla Sutherland fullback Jada Taylor in commentary on ABC Sport. Just her second appearance, you wouldn't know it listening, and I was lucky to work with her on debut a few weeks ago. Hopefully we'll be hearing much more from Jada in the near future, including right now. How are you, Jada? Welcome.
I'm good. It's much nicer evening tonight than last night. It was a bit rainy there on the Central Coast.
Yes. It can be anywhere footy, as you well know, can be a bit miserable when it's cold and wet.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, it was actually quite beautiful sitting up there and watching other people play in it and other fullbacks.
Well, you're
have to
in
catch
the box, so Dean Halitau had to get wet.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't feel bad at all, to be honest.
No, well, that's the advantage of being in the box. Now, do you want questions about your Sharks now or later? I'll give you the choice because you're a guest.
Hit me.
Okay, good. I want to know the answer to this question, Jada Taylor. How does a team with Tiana Penetani-Gray, Georgia Hanaway, Shontae Kiriratu, Ellie Johnston, Quincy Dodd, Caitlin Johnston-Green, Jada Taylor, some people's pick for the Dally M this year. How are you sitting on only one win?
What a clown would pick that, to be honest. But I wish I had the answers for you. On a serious note, it's been really disappointing, and no one's more frustrated than we are at the moment. And we know we've got to turn that around this weekend if we want to be any chance at finals.
So no, just, I mean, they play the games for a reason, so you can't just look at paper. But I remember going to that first game of the year where you were beaten and just, you know, researching and having a look at the team, like, wow, this actually could be a team that challenges the Roosters in Brisbane, as Cronulla has done in recent years. Can you tell, like, during a game, does it get so frustrating when you keep losing games that you think that you should be winning? How do you deal with that, like, when you come off the field in the preparation for the next week and not get bogged down in negative town?
Yeah, look, I don't want to lie. I'm an emotional person, and I'm someone who I think's quite young still, but
You're quite young. I believe you celebrate a birthday this coming Friday.
23 this week.
Yeah, I think you are quite young.
No, but we've got some girls who are, you know, 18 and stuff in the NRLW now, which is awesome for the game. And
are you becoming a senior player?
I am a senior player. This is my fifth year. You know, something I still struggle with is learning how to deal with a loss and showing up the next week. And, I think I can get caught up in my feelings and who I am away from rugby league. And but it's something that I've had to deal with this year. I've had no choice. So, it's been difficult, but trying to show up the next week and put our best foot forward. And it hasn't worked for us yet, but it will this week.
You've got the Cowboys in Townsville. It's actually the game that will be broadcast on ABC Sport on Sunday night. They, like you, have only had one win, so five rounds to go. It's now or never, right?
It certainly is, and that's something that we're well aware of. Like, we have to be winning now, and, it's not where we want to be, but we're still in contention, and I back us against anyone when it comes down to it.
You were watching the Roosters firsthand last night. I mean, they're a mighty, mighty team. Cronulla's actually done well against them in the last couple of years and some very near misses, but why are they not the team to beat? They look so dangerous wherever you look across the park.
Yeah, I think it's you earn that respect, right, from previous years. That's why the Broncos and the Roosters are so highly spoken about in the media, even though they've been in some tough games. And I know the Broncos have lost this weekend, but, they've earned that right to be spoken about so highly. But I don't fear any of the teams, and I'm excited to play the Chooks. I think it'll be a really good test for us. And if you want to play finals footy and we've got to beat them to play finals footy, then let's do it. Bring it on.
Indigenous round, obviously, know it means a lot to you personally. Over 2 weeks this year, Indigenous round. What did you make of the attention it received this week? Because I remember the thing that really hit home with me a number of years ago was when Joel Thompson, then with Manly, was speaking a lot about it. And he said the main thing we want as Indigenous people is, even teammates, we want to be asked questions about our culture and the differences, and just ask some questions and have a conversation. And I thought that's such a great, simple way to get things started. What do you try to get out of Indigenous Round?
No, I 100% agree. I think the coolest part, especially this year, I haven't got the Cronulla Sharks, NRLW and the Dragons were actually the first ones to wear an Indigenous Round jersey. So I feel very proud of that. And I think a lot of our girls who are non-Indigenous, we've got a lot of Pacifica players as well, but the way they get around the culture and they want to ask questions, they want us to do activities, they want to learn, I think that's the biggest part of reconciliation. And yeah, it's awesome to see that, I guess, in the game. But I also think it's awesome to represent our community. You know, it's not just the Indigenous people, it's everyone in the Shire. And this year we really got around that, and I was a bit of a part of the jersey design and got to learn more about the Cronulla area. I'm not a local, you know, I wasn't born and raised in the Shire, but I know a lot about the Shire now, and I want to know about its First Nations people too. So yeah, I feel very proud to pull that strip on, and hopefully we can do it a bit more justice this week.
I saw the Dragons NRLW team play yesterday, Jubilee. That gear looked awesome. That really did look good, and I'm not an alternate jersey kind of guy. The NRL Sharks game I was at yesterday that I was talking about, losing to the bottom of the table Dragons, is that a blip on their radar, do you think? Is it a kick in the pants, a worry? What do you think that result means?
Yeah, I guess I took the day off work today because I didn't want to go into the office and face everyone after a loss. But no.
You didn't tell them you were cooked, did you? You're just giving yourself up here.
Day off, needed, much needed rest day. No, I think, you know, you'd much rather it be now than in finals. And I think they're still genuine contenders this year, and it's nice that they're finally, I guess, been given the media attention, and people are talking about them actually being contenders. And yeah, sometimes you need that, and I think it's better now than, you know, first week of finals or second week of finals even.
I was talking on this show last week that I think it's folly to say it's a two-horse race, Penrith and the Roosters. And I don't think Penrith are going that well at the moment, but they can be a great side, we know that. But to me, the Warriors are right up there. Sharkies have been. And I think if the Dolphins make the top four, you don't want to play them because they might concede 30 like they did on the weekend, but they'll back themselves to score 40. They've got so much potency. How many serious premiership contenders do you think there are?
Yeah, I think they all are. I think that's the nature of, you know, the men's and the women's game at the moment, is that anyone can beat anyone. And I feel like the Dragons-Sharks game really showed that. But yeah, I think it's, rugby league's a crazy sport. You don't want to rule anyone out. A couple of errors and, you know, incomplete sets and possession and stuff like that can really change a game. So, yeah, those ones you mentioned, I think there's a lot of exciting teams at the moment, and you don't know who's going to win on the day. And I think that's amazing for our sport, but it is hard to look past the Panthers. And I think this Isaiah Yeo thing, though, is really going to be a test for them.
With the myriad of injuries you've suffered in a young career, have you ever done a pec?
No, never done the pec. I've done, what, 3 shoulder recos? That's probably
close
the
enough.
Closest, yeah.
He looked in such anguish the other day. You feared the worst straight away.
Yeah, 100%. I think when you have a moment in a game where someone, you can see it straight away, that's when your concerns are raised as a player or as a fan. You sort of, you see that moment and you fear that's him done. And that's why I think I was so shocked to see today that they've come out and said that he won't require surgery. I think I thought that would be surgery for sure. So don't know if they're just hoping for the best here or it actually might not be as bad as it looked.
I want to get your take on regional footy for NRL or NRLW. You're a Tamworth girl and used to love going to Tamworth for the West Tigers. Were there and it was a full house all the time and a great atmosphere and people on the road across beyond the hill, sitting on roofs, and Matt Elliott and I wandered over at one day over there, And there were, I reckon, 8 Eskies on one balcony. And then we later saw them sitting on the roof where perhaps they shouldn't have been at that time of day. But it just, it shows you again how much it means to them. And it just seemed like we were getting it right in the code with the relationship between the club and the area and 3-year deals rather than just going taking a city-country game that used to be the case. You've just experienced playing in Wagga Wagga for NRLW Magic Round. How imperative is it as someone who was raised in Tamworth that NRL or NRLW is played in these areas?
Yeah, I think there's no bigger fan than it than me. I grew up in a rugby league mad household. I have an older brother and a dad who played the game a lot, and you know, it was in my blood. I would say I was born to play this sport, and there's not a lot of opportunities for a lot of regional kids, and for them this is the highlight of their rugby league career, or their rugby league, I guess, moments is remembering, you know, sitting on a hill in a regional town where their parents didn't have to drive hours and hours to take them to the game. And it's disheartening that we're seeing less and less of it. I know the Sharks used to go to Coffs Harbour, and even seeing the support that was shown up there, and people will travel to these regional games as well. It's not just going to be the local community. It's people drove 3 hours, 4 hours to be at the game in Wagga Wagga the other day for the NRLW.
Yeah.
So country towns, they'll travel. They want to be a part of it. And it's the home of rugby league is our regional towns. And I think we owe it as the NRL to actually give back to community and go out there. And I agree, it needs to be made a week thing where you have, you know, some community clinics, things like that where...
I love that idea. Have a regional round. You could do that NRLW and NRL. And again, if it's just a money thing, that the game's making that much money now, we can afford to have a regional round.
Certainly. I think it's time we give back and we keep investing in our grassroots footy. And there's a lot of talent out there as well. So maybe some talent ID and stuff, combines and stuff. We're seeing more and more of that in the women's space. But that's definitely untapped potential out there.
On the text line with special guest Jada Taylor here on NRL Monday. Hi, Andrew. Nice to hear Jada on NRL Monday. She's a lovely person. Dion, you don't know her very well. I hope you both enjoy your evening and have fun. Dion, you're a sweetheart, and she's a lovely person. Louis' quote of the weekend, two bricks don't make a wall, to describe the injustice of denying South's brilliant try, says Ed. Yes, that was about my favourite moment of the weekend too, that unbelievable try scored by South that was knocked back because a wall had formed. For the love of God, can't the Pope come a different weekend next year, asks Darren. I'm not familiar with his schedule, but all this talk about taking a grand final to Perth, it won't happen. It will not happen. Happy Rugby League. I absolutely hate that we don't get to hear the first half of this program in regional Queensland. Wish they would prioritise this program over what we get between 6:30 and 7, or that your program would start at 7 and go through to 8. Truly frustrated. Little brother Tucker. We can go through to 8 for you, brother Tucker, no problem. G'day, Andrew. I think as an intro for your MC1 interview, you should have played a grab from Dennis's amazing Bananas in Pyjamas cover song. So funny, says Milo. Yeah, when we get him on the weekend, we'll do that one of these weekends. The Chiefs seem to be buying a lot of players who may be past their use-by date. There's some serious dangers in this. I don't think so, Jada. I don't know if you have an opinion on that. The only one that's going to be getting on a bit, really, is Alex Johnston, and I think he'll be 34. But he's going to be, he's there for more than just his incredible try-scoring ability. He's been a Kummel's captain. He's going to be revered over there.
Yeah, certainly. And I think he showed it on the weekend. He's still in try-scoring form. He played unreal. So, I don't think so. I think having Jerome Luai and obviously Brian To'o is still a freak. I think definitely not past his use-by date, and he's a worker. So, I don't agree with that one.
Adrian, from a warm winter's early evening in a star-filled Townsville night, says, up the Cowboys. Good evening, Andrew, from yesterday's First Thought. Oh, gosh, what was our First Thought? Oh, it was Most Influential People Ever. I'm going to sound like a suckhole here, but my first thought was the ABC commentary team. I started listening with my father as a lad with Thirsty Morrow. Then I started listening to you at 2GB. Then you and Matty Elliott started here at the ABC in 2015, and the rest is history. Without radio, there's no sport. Thank you for not dying last year. Thank you. I'm glad I didn't. My favourite, that's 12 months ago on Thursday that I hit the deck. My favourite Andrew Moore moment was when you were at the other mob and Bobby Fulton called Darryl. That just made me shake. That was an awful day, Adrian. The rest is history now, but have a great afternoon. Thank you, Adrian. 0467 920 222. Are you looking forward to buying and selling?
I'm so nervous right now. I don't know what you're going to say to me. But the people love you. How good is this? You come on here for a confidence booster, don't you?
No, but then I get to work with people who bring me back down to earth. So it's all okay. I'm just looking at the buying or selling. I think you'll be okay. Beautiful. Especially questions 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5. Yeah, it's going to be good. It is 20 and a half minutes past 7 with you until 7.30. Also between now and Stumps, Ralph Tucker, our producer and our weekend rugby league producer, will produce his director's cut, which is his highlight from our broadcasting from Thursday through until Sunday. But let's get into it right now. It is time to find out whether Jada Taylor has a deep wallet or not.
Are you buying or selling?
What do you think you are? Do you like shopping? Are you a spendthrift or are you a saver? How would you describe yourself?
Bit of both, I would say. Like to splurge a little bit, but nothing too crazy, you know what I mean? Got to look after the future.
Oh, that's very... See, you're about to turn 23. You're so mature. All right. Are you buying or selling, Jada Taylor, the NRL's planned global round with games in Japan, Hong Kong and England, that it will be a huge success?
I'm going to say selling. I just think... Ooh. I just think, would I love to see it? Yes. But at the same time, I'm so passionate about regional footy and I agree with what you said before. I would much rather see that and some home games rather than taking it and trying to expand again on what I think Vegas, yeah, it's an awesome concept and we take it over there and a lot of fans from Australia are travelling. But how many are we actually engaging with overseas? I'm not too sure.
Okay. I like your honesty. So you're selling that concept. Would you be more inclined to buy it if it did have a tie-in with regional footy?
Yes.
So I don't think we can have a global round, a regional round and a magic round.
I agree. I think it's too much. I think people are going to stop buying memberships at their local footy club.
That's the issue. Righto, so you're selling the first one. Are you buying that the NRLW season desperately needed the result in Canberra yesterday where the Raiders stunned the Broncos?
Buying. I think that's huge for our game and it might silence some noise that it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, and that's every time I speak to Rue, I put it to her, how concerned are you? And she fennec and bristles, like she scares me. Because, well, apart from anything else, Canberra's obviously a very good team. Gold Coast looks like a gun team. So there are teams emerging. There's another team that should have been really good, but at the moment, you know, not so much. But it did need it, I reckon, Canberra winning. And winning emphatically against a Brisbane team without Ali Brigginshaw.
Yeah, they're a great side. And I think, and I don't just say that because we beat them, but they went toe-to-toe with the Roosters in a game that I probably thought that they should have won. So, yeah, this is the nature of our competition. And people who say that, you know, there's only two teams that are going to be there on grand final day clearly don't watch it.
The PNG Chiefs, Jada, will be premiership threats in their very first season in 2028. Are you buying or selling?
Ooh, I'm gonna say selling this one. I don't think in their first year, I don't think so. I think there will be some growing pains. Do I think the roster they've got at the moment is good? Yeah, but I still think they've got to go through some growing pains first.
The Warriors are legitimate NRL title contenders. Are you buying or selling that?
Ooh, I'm going to buy this one. I think the Warriors are in good form and I touched on it before, but I think anyone can win this competition at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, they look so good. They're covered. They've got so much depth. They have all these injuries and they keep winning. Tane Tuipeke had been so good at fullback. He's out and Chance Nicol-Klukstad they can call on.
Yeah, well, the scary part, I think, is even in their halves, like Luke Metcalf obviously come back from the ACL and then Tanner Boyd was playing gun and then he's out all of a sudden. Luke Metcalf's back, but Tamari Martin was playing unreal. So I think, depth's really important, especially when you get to finals footy.
Finally, are you buying or selling? Cronulla Sutherland will go on a 5-game winning streak to reach the NRLW finals.
Buying, for sure. You heard it here first, buying that.
Jared, cut that one up, would you, please? Yes. So how confident do you say that? You look confident.
I am confident. I have full belief in my team and I watch the work that they put in every day. So I think it's about to turn and results are about to start flipping.
3 buys, 2 sells.
Beautiful.
It's a bit like how you described yourself. See, that wasn't too bad. We've got Ralph Tucker's director's cut coming up. Just on the text line, Andy, can you ask Jada about her opinion on tomato sauce, fridge or cupboard? Ask Adrian. We've done that already, actually, when we got to know you.
What did I say?
I can't remember.
Neither, because I feel like I do a bit of both. Is that illegal?
Yes, it is illegal.
Thanks.
The officers will be waiting for you at the end of the show. Well, that didn't even come from me, says Sharon. What? And it's hello with a love heart. Oh, Sharon, thank you. Good. Question for Jada. What would she think of the NRLW introducing a draft pick system as a measure to try and help the equilibrium between teams and having more balanced sides in an effort to have closer contests? That question from Nick in Melbourne.
No, I don't agree with it. I just think we're trying to develop our own players at clubs, and I know the hard work that gets put into our Cronulla Sharks pathway system, and I would hate to see, you know, us lose those girls and things like that. So I don't think the tiered system or a draft system is going to be what fixes us. I think it's just going full-time and having the salary cap be equal, because what we see at the moment is clubs can employ girls to do jobs because we're not full-time, we're only semi-professional. So that's where the inconsistencies are at the moment in the women's game.
You also need 2 full rounds, 20-odd week season, and that needs to happen immediately. By the way, for our texter little brother Trucker who talked about what time the show starts where he is, you can hear the full show in the ABC NRL Daily podcast feed. Just search for ABC NRL Daily wherever you get your podcasts or catch it anytime on ABC Listen. All right, let's find out what our producer Ralph Tucker thought was the highlight from our broadcasting over the weekend.
The director's cut.
Watch his finger just move right there. See his little finger just come back up. It went down and back up.
Went down.
So we don't have to look again.
Down and back up.
No try. It's a knock on.
I'm not confident that we're going to get there. And we're looking at it again.
Can we blow up?
Here it is. Ready? Finger down and up.
And back up.
No try. There we go.
There.
They got there.
Under review, looking for a knock on from Leka Halasima.
We're not looking for it. We've found it, Jared.
Clock reset,
22-0 should become 18-0.
Cleared all aspects of play leading up to this. The ball was touched by Penrith, however, it went backwards.
They
resetting
the
tackle count.
Knock on because his finger went
down. The ball comes off the finger back up, here up. Of Leka going forward towards the opponent's dead ball line.
Are we still talking about it?
I'm sorry, I lapsed into a coma.
I'd be in the second half by now.
I wish Ashley Klein said it went down.
It'll be a scrum, guys, because it's back first off Penrith.
That might have made Ralph Tucker's director's cut on NRL Monday. It was whole lot of the weekend.
20 metres out.
Down.
You're not going to. Don't try that out. You might. You've still got a lot of weekend to go.
Scott.
All day yesterday, Jubilee, Carianis was there with his beautiful daughter, Helena, and he was down and back up. Heard it non-stop. There you go. See, that's how good our coverage was over the 4 days, Jada.
All those dribblers together.
How good. 0467 920 222. Round 24 of the NRL season, only a few nights away, and what a game on Thursday night. Top of the table clash, Penrith taking on the Sydney Roosters at Western Sydney Stadium. Could this be the grand final preview? Coverage from 7 o'clock. Luke Lewis and Ruan Sims will join me out there. Can't wait. Who's going to win that, Penrith or the Roosters?
Oh, I'm going to go with Penrith. Good history.
Well, Penrith, yeah, they eat the Roosters always. But speaking to Connor Watson recently, he said, we're different now. We're ready. So we'll find out. I can't wait. Friday night coverage from 5:30 on ABC Listen. Then from 6, Louie and Rue will be with me. Manly Warringah against the Dolphins at Brookvale. The 8 o'clock game, Canterbury Bankstown taking on South Sydney at Stadium Australia. 9th against 7th, Brett Sprigg on the call there with Dean Halitau and Michael Carianis. Coverage right through the weekend. Melbourne has the bye. And a reminder, a 6:15 kickoff. And you can hear the NRL match of the day, NRLW match of the day on Sunday between North Queensland and Jada's Sharkies in Townsville with Zane Bojack, Karina Brown and Ash Sartor. Bring it on. Jada, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Great to see you. Up.
Win, will you?
Easy. No worries.
You're going to win the Dally M?
Thank you, Ralph. If you didn't put the mocker on me, maybe.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Jared. Thank you for listening.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.